people. I hope everyone's staying warm and to have the opportunity to learn together this morning. I remember a number of years ago, first encounter Rabbi Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik's Rupture and Reconstruction essay. I think it was around the early 1990s. And Dr. Soloveitchik suggested that our society has adjusted its attitude potentially to the way in which we transmit tradition and Mesorah. That used to be a model of mimesis. You saw a lot, like Rabbi Eisenstein was just saying, you saw your father, you saw your mother, you did what they did. You really absorbed. You, it was a mimetic transmission from the community around you. And that in the transition of developing both print materials, Torah institutions, a whole entire new educational model, without any type of analysis, Dr. Soloveitchik suggested that we're moving towards a very different transmission of Mesorah, and one that's more challenging. Because instead of simply just adopting what we see and really absorbing it and making it just a part of our cultural assumptions, we're in an age of education and print materials, and you add the internet to it now, where the analysis is very different. There's a critical lens to tradition, and reconstruction is difficult. We can't just do what everybody else has done. It's more of this idea of show it to me. Where does it say? Why should I do it that way? Wasn't there perhaps a change in a girsa or in a tradition, and it doesn't really apply this way? Add to that the challenge that's been described recently in our community to potentially doing things simply just out of a social construct. Some have called it social orthodoxy. There's a loss of a deep connection to different mitzvot. There's an assumption that potentially what we do because it's part of our communal structure. It's just a practical orthodoxy. It doesn't, it's a praxis and not so much the, a deep connection. We're missing the inner conviction, doing what you do simply to belong. And it leaves the individual as the ultimate decisor. It's hard to call that Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem and the submission that Rav Soloveitchik describes in every capacity of what we do and the ways in which we're trying to build ourselves and trying to connect to Torah and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that you're not doing it simply because your neighbor has done it or because that's what happens in your shul, but that there's a deeper connection to the different mitzvot that you're doing. And even if it isn't exactly the way your mother, your father, and our culture has adjusted from a mimetic culture to, as Dr. Soloveitchik says, perhaps one that's more learned, one that's more interrogative, that's asking more of questions and an analysis, still it's part of your own avodas Hashem. It still has a deeper connection. So today what I wanted to do is look at this question of how do we find meaning and inspiration for mitzvot, which has classically been called Ta'ame HaMitzvot. And in that tradition, it was always considering what are the reasons of the mitzvot, what are the sources of the mitzvot, what are the values behind the mitzvot, more of an intellectual exercise. Today, when you look in social sciences, especially that has emerged around this time of Corona, while people are a little bit searching for meaning, often this field is called a mindfulness, looking for a connection from the outer to the inner, whether it's through building greater attitudes of what's called attitude of gratitude or a sense of like what I do really matters to how I'm going to live my life. I want us to be able to avoid something that's called, it's a little bit of a slippery slope. It's often in historiography called presentism, where you take your current reality and you go back and you look at either sources or essays or ideas from the past and you like impose it upon them. I want us to try to avoid that while we're looking at what Chazal and what our Tamid Chachamim in the past have told us about Ta'amei HaMitzvot, about how we build an inner connection to the mitzvot that we do so that they are, in fact, a part of our Avodas Hashem. At the very end of the Makorot, I don't know if we'll get to it, there's a long essay of the Rav's on Mesorah, in which in some of the underlying sections, Rav Soloveitchik says, in your Avodas Hashem, there's no apologies for Mesorah. We take everything that we can from our current temporary age and all of the skills and insights of new methodologies, and we build our better appreciation, perhaps, of Torah, but it's never with an apology towards the Mesorah. What we want to do today is really look carefully at the different attitudes of how we build that inner life, that inner connection to mitzvot, utilizing, as the Rav would identify, many of sort of the new methodologies or new ideas, and this real need for our community to be sure that what we do in our mitzvah orientation on a daily basis and how we convey it to our students or our children is one that is building an avodas Hashem, connecting us to Hashem through the mitzvos, and not one that is either, you know, with this critical lens of the rupture and reconstruction that Dr. Soloveitchik describes, that asks, show me and tell me and prove to me why I do this, or from the social orthodoxy perspective, simply doing it because that's what the social construct is that expects us to do it on a very daily basis, but really building an inner connection to the mitzvos and trying to see every single mitzvah as an opportunity to connect to Torah and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm going to start by just pointing out that this concept of deepening our meaningful life is obviously not a new one. It takes on all new shapes and language. But if we look even as early as the Mishnah and Avos, in striving for a meaningful life, Hakol Tzafoy V'Harashut Netunah B'Tov Ha'olam Nidon, Hashem is looking for man to make the choices of how he's going to live his life and whether he's going to live his life according to Torah Mitzvos. V'Hakol L'fi Rov HaMa'aseh. The Rambam there says, Ze'in Yan Omro L'fi Rov HaMa'aseh, Lo L'fi Godol HaMa'aseh. It's an interesting concept here that it isn't about the grand nature of the mitzvah that you're going to. According to the Rambam, there is something quantitative, something that's important in terms of how many actions we take. So I had a student once who challenged me and said, really, you think Hashem is up there in Shamayim with like a cosmic calculator and counting how many mitzvahs we do and balancing out everything like that? Why do you think that matters to God? And I think when you look at the Rambam's explanation here, we see an insight into why mitzvot help us build a life of Kedusha, a life that connects us to Hashem. And the Rambam would say, if you have 1,000 coins to give in tzedakah and in chesed, you could make a grand splash and give it all at once to one person, but this would actually achieve less than if you gave 1,000 times. And why? Because of this concept that it will arouse the spirit of generosity. Instead of doing it just once, which is maybe potentially even worse, it's not about creating a character within yourself. It's not about building a spirit and a muscle of generosity. Rather, if you give it all at once, you become this like great savior. You know, I've done something grand and a big splash. So the Rambam, even as early in the early Mishnayos, the Rambam would talk to us about this idea that every single mitzvah has a cumulative effect on the person who does it. And we should look not for God to have a cosmic calculator counting, you know, how many mitzvot, but for us to have our own inner calculator trying to build a life that is full of mitzvot. This effort to resolve or to answer the question and the challenge of mitzvot and tamei mitzvot is classically understood, and many members of many Rishonim and Achronim, and obviously Baalei Musar and Baalei Chassidus are also invested in this effort. And if we look classically at the Rambam and the Ramban, we will see that they both understand from a different perspective what the goals are in understanding this. So we're going to look first at the Ramban, and use the text. Rabbi Shur, should I be sharing screens, or is it assumed that everyone has a text?
Everyone should have the source sheets. I don't know if it's easier for you to use the share screen, but everyone should have the source sheets. Again, the link is available to download them in the chat and on the website you came from.
Okay, thank you so much. And so if we look at the Ramban, we'll just read it a little bit inside. This is, there are many, many places where this question of what are the reasons for mitzvot and what's the to'ele of a mitzvah that both the Rambam and the Ramban address. And I just chose two places where you see a similarity. V'chol ha-mitzvot tam. The Ramban just asserts every single mitzvah has a tam. It has a reason. She'ein ha-to'elet b'mitzvot la-hakadosh baruch hu ba'atzmo. Hashem doesn't have a benefit from the mitzvot. Aval ha-to'elet ba'adam atzmo. The benefit is to man. Limnoa mimeno nezek o emunara o midam migune. So the Ramban would tell us that in performing mitzvot, in building a life of mitzvot, we are almost like on this character development program, where in this mitzvah, we prevent ourselves from developing a certain personality trait, or we avoid a certain emunot ra'ot, or a midah miguna, or like a bad character. Hashem doesn't get any benefit from the ways in which the details of what it is that we do for our mitzvot. Rather, the benefit is to us. And of course, the classic example is Al-Kan Tzipor, where the mitzvah is that you should send away a mother bird from its nest before taking the eggs. Why? Because it should inspire you to have a certain midah of rachmanut in your life, and you should avoid the midah of achzariut. So here's what the Ramban has to, yeah, it's like a classic overarching umbrella explanation for how mitzvot are this like character development process, and they build a type of person, a person who has midot tovot, a person who's able and able to use and to see mitzvot to shape who they are in a way that would be, you know, Bidzmut HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is appropriate for standing for the midot of Hashem. Now, when you look at the Rambam's formulation, it's slightly different, but has a similar defense that mitzvot have an impact on each and every one of us. So looking at the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, the Hakavana kula laho alita tanu. This is for our benefit. Kamosha be'arim b'ma'amaral l'tov lanu kol hayamim l'chayatenu kayom hazeh. So the Rambam would tell us that all of this is to our benefit. Kvar bi'ar she'afilu hachukim kulam yore el kol hagayim she'heim b'chokma u'b'tvuna v'im haya inyan What happens with chukim when we don't really have a definition of or explanation for them? And in fact, it seems as though that's the whole point, that this should be an avoda that doesn't come with an underlying purpose or a reason. And the Rambam wants to push this principle that if you don't even know it, you should obviously not stop to do it. Lama yemu b'mamarenu o ba'alseinu shehu chacham v'navon v'gadol ha'mu'ule v'yiflanu mizeh ha'umot. What would happen? How would the umot be able to appreciate the wisdom and the beauty of Torah if there weren't mitzvot that also had a real good explanation behind it, and if we weren't the types of people who were able to convince all the nations of the world that that mitzvot and living a life of mitzvot and connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us stand out and helps us be that model nation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on the Ramban side of things, mitzvot are part of a character development. On the Rambam's side of things, he does really acknowledge that not every single mitzvah, obviously the Ramban would agree that, you know, chukim don't have linked explanations for them, but that there is this like broader category called Am Yisrael who have this like intellectual training. It's almost this sense of you can talk to us about what we're committed to. And even though the chukim don't have a direct link to a tam, it stands to reason that B'nai Israel stands up to this kind of scrutiny as a nation. And the Rambam in other places will talk about mitzvot as not necessarily needing, explanations for every single part of the mitzvah, but that living a mitzvah life is part of building a society that is devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is an exemplary society full of justice and good deeds that others will look to with a sense of admiration and a sense that that this is what it looks like to be an Eved Hashem. So on the one hand, we have, you know, a character development process. On the other hand, we have this almost like intellectual training where others can see the values as B'nai Israel are as a nation. What I want to do now is like shift focus for a moment, having recognized that these are like a basic principles of Ta'amei HaMitzvot that's been a part of the search for meaning, for mitzvot, for obviously a big part of our Mesorah, and really like look at how it is today that people who are searching for meaningful lives and looking to build lives of meaning, what are some of the recommendations and suggestions that have emerged? And this is why I chose the title of Muscle Memory, because I think it's a little counterintuitive. I think our current structure, whether it's in communities or in homes or in schools, is that people need to learn more. And if we learn more, perhaps we'll be able to satisfy these questions, and then our students and our children will be more inspired to follow mitzvot. Instead, I think when you look at this concept of muscle memory, it's this notion that with 300 or 3,000 repetitions, you can create muscle memory, and it's not about a deeper understanding per se, but it's about building your actual, you know, actual habit and insight into what you're capable of doing. But I want to shift it for a minute and ask us to consider an example of how this actually works from a really tragic but inspiring story of Alex Scott. Alex Scott was a 4-year-old founder of Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation. She was how can you be a 4-year-old founder of a foundation? This foundation currently raised $200 million for cancer research and is listed as one of the top 10 medical research foundations in the United States. Alex Scott, just as a 4-year-old, again, didn't do this on her own, but when she was battling cancer, her parents, with friends, just started spreading the news that everyone could help by having little lemonade stands. And that's how it worked. It was literally inspired by this like sweet, sweet kid and people who really felt this like commitment to doing what they could to help a tragic situation. Alex did not survive her treatment, but the foundation took off and still has this real grassroots ability to have little kids all over the country, all over the world. Really, what are they doing? They're taking lemon and sugar and water and doing what little kids do, building from what they have, building from this, like every single, you know, summer morning, can we have a lemonade stand? And mom of the bet or whoever it is says, yes, you can, and inspires them to take from what they normally do, from what they know how to do, from what is very basic and simple and practical, to build something that's incredibly impactful, connected to something that's maybe impossible to some of these kids to imagine, that they could be funding cancer research. So if that idea even inspires you a little bit, I encourage you to go check up Alex Scott's Lemonade Stand Foundation to see that it's been studied as a how to make sure that these big grand values of whether it's generosity or helping somebody else really starts with the smallest of actions and the ability to build connections from what we know how to do to what might seem impossible. I thought it was a very powerful image and a metaphor for another way at looking at mitzvot. Mitzvot in this regard, and we'll see in some of the following sources, are not just something to study and to examine and to find out what are the reasons behind it and why from the texts. But mitzvot in Baalei Mussar and Baalei Chassidut are conductors. They allow the flow and the charge from one part of existence to another part of existence to create. The mitzvah itself just brings the flow of ruchnius from X to Y, and we'll see how this is explained, particularly an idea that has been pushed by the Maharal. The Maharal in Ner Mitzvah, based on his examination of Hanukkah, and of the values and the lessons of Hanukkah, bases this idea on a pasuk in Mishlei, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or v'derech chayim tochos musar. This idea that every single mitzvah is considered a ner. The mitzvah is the vehicle of light. Torah is the source of Hashem's infinite light, and that's present and available, but needs to be captured and needs to have a vehicle and a mechanism in order to connect to this world, in order to connect to each and every single one of us. The Sfas Emes, the Atzer of Ger, extends it beyond Hanukkah and says, certainly inspired by the Nisim of Hanukkah and by the mitzvot of Hanukkah menorah, we still see that this is just a model. The Hanukkah candles are a spiritual symbol. They're a symbol, a model of all the other mitzvot, the light of all mitzvot, which we search for in our inner selves. Again, if you take this very seriously, you're looking at two different types of light. There's the light of Torah that exists regardless of man, regardless of mitzvot. We don't have to do anything. It's there. Hizdaka ba'oraita avara oma. Hashem has this light. It's the original primordial light. The world is created. And then mitzvot have the capacity to bring the light from the neshama of each person to the light of the Torah. The mitzvah is the conductor that brings those two lights together. So the mitzvot are these light-seeking candles. They're instruments that are given to us in order to help us build that connection. Personally, I grew up in the Lubavitch community in Crown Heights, and there's a famous story that's told of a chassid who asks Rav Shalom Dovber, what is a chassid? What's the definition of a chassid? What's my task? What am I supposed to do? And the answer is you have to be a lamplighter. A lamplighter does not just take the light from his own, source of fire and then travel through the town to make sure that there's light around the town. It goes and lights up the various different posts of light that are available. If you take that to this metaphor of thinking about mitzvot, obviously you see it in the inspiration of the Lubavitch community of making sure that there's light or at least kosher food and Shabbos available all around the world. But more seriously, from the Sfas Emes, it would be not just having an external light, but lighting an inner lamp. Each mitzvah, each Jew has the capacity to take that inner light that they have through the mitzvot that they do, both to inspire a greater light within the world, but also to inspire their own lights and the lights of other Jews around them. While Lubavitch uses that as a way to reach out to Am Yisrael, I think the model is also important to recognize that every single mitzvah, ki ner mitzvah v'torah, or every mitzvah has that capacity to increase our own inner light and our own sense of our spirituality. In this way, it's a little bit different than just the intellectual search for ta'amei ha-mitzvot, which of course are very important, and different personalities inspire different approaches. But this notion that we can build up our own inner connections to mitzvot just by doing mitzvot is an important thing to also consider. Here, if we look at source 6, Netivot Olam, this is the Maharal. He explains why this works. It's important to understand that it isn't just like, a sense of do this and simply something else will happen. You know, if you just light Shabbos candles, Mashiach's going to come. Again, pushing against this concept that this is, a cosmic calculator that Hashem is watching, but rather it's actually something that we develop within ourselves. So if you look at the Netivot Olam, here's the explanation that the Maharal offers. He says, listen, we're made from different things. Torah itself, as an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is really sichlit. I would say sichlit here includes the entire metaphysical realm. It's not just an intellectual expression. Entirely physical. So that's the contrast. The only way that man who is totally gashmi has an opportunity to connect to Hashem, who is totally ruchani, or to Torah, which is totally ruchani, is through mitzvot. And mitzvot are only able to be actualized through man. Etzel ha-mitzvah, k'tiv kinei mitzvah, ve'etzel ha-neshama k'tiv gam kein, ner ha-shem nishmat adam, shnehem shavim. So the Maharal would say that the spirituality of a mitzvah and the spirituality of the neshama are the two things that connect to each other, which allows man, who is completely physical, to connect to the Torah, which is completely spiritual. So the action of a mitzvah is what, you know, elicits the spirituality in man and what enables him to connect to the Torah. If you look at the bottom of that source, the underlined section, it says, Aval ha-mitzvah shehitzluya b'ma'aseh. The mitzvot are effectuated and required and activated by action. Asher ha-ma'aseh shayach al ha-guf ha-geshem. And therefore, if a man says, "Ein li ela Torah," just leave me in the base medrash. "Ein li ela Torah," leave me at the top of the mountain. I will simply contemplate. I'll learn. Afilo Torah ein lo. He also doesn't have Torah because you have to take that spirituality and the ruchniyot of Torah. The or of Torah requires the vehicle of a mitzvah, and a mitzvah requires action in the world. I think that this principle of really looking to activate our spirituality through mitzvot and recognize that mitzvot act on our spiritual muscles, as it were, 300 times to 3,000 times, that's what enables us to improve our mitzvah performance, our connection to Torah, our understanding that every single one of these mitzvot have within them the capacity to bring out our neshama, the light of our neshama and the light of every single mitzvah are conductors that need to be connected to each other in order for us to really be living a life of Torah and not just doing mitzvot, not just learning about it, but integrating both the intellectual, but also the abilities to feel a connection and to feel inspired and enlightened by the mitzvot that we do. That Kedas Yitzchak has a very interesting analogy. It says of all the various physical abilities that we have, vision or sight is something that requires an external source. You know, if I'm able to smell, there's even a smell to rain. I've discovered one of my children particularly loves that. There's a smell to everything. But sight, if you don't have light, you won't be able to even know whether you can see anything. You can be in utter darkness and not see anything. And so that Kedas Yitzchak wants to use that as a way of understanding that a mitzvah has to bring the source of light, which comes from Torah. Sunlight, he says, is gifted to everyone. But unless you're actually able to receive it through normal channels, you will not be able to benefit from it. You need to have sight. And similarly, Torah is provided for man, but it also requires channels that are primed to receive it, to understand it, to make use of it. Ner mitzvah, the commandment being a mitzvah being a ner, refers to the local illumination achieved through the performance of individual mitzvot, where Torah is the light itself. Torah exists. It doesn't depend on us. If we want to have access to the light of the Torah, then we have to prepare ourselves in our actions to really capture the light and to do so by filling our life with many, many mitzvot. So this is similar in some ways to sort of the athlete model, where you train your muscles and you work hard on it and you get better at it. And each time you do it, you're potentially in an improved state and improved access to that action. And in a similar way here, you also see the Akedas Yitzchak using the model of Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah, or noting that each mitzvah connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that way. If I want to just look at the very end, if you look at the end of the Akedas Yitzchak, Ki Alzeh, this is what Mishle was referring to, Kiner Mitzvah V'Torah, or V'zehu k'mosha haner or ha'or ha'kolel hu ha'emtza'i ha'motzi l'f'ol koach hara'ot. It's important to understand that according to the Kedas Yitzchak and to the Maharal, it isn't as though this is only, you know, an external source that we have to search for. The more I learn, the more I'll, you know, climb the ladder and the prize is at the top of the ladder. It's more about how do I activate what's already inside of me? How do I, the mitzvah becomes an emtai, it's a force. It's an intermediate force that connects me, which is already present in my koach, to the poel of what Hashem expects from each and every single one of us. And this famously most known by the Sefer Chinuch. Sefer Chinuch is an anonymous Sefer, and many people would quote this principle of do mitzvot, and through doing mitzvot, you'll feel more connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Build that muscle memory, do it, and fulfill your life, and increase the frequency a little bit, like the Rambam on Avot. Increase the frequency of your mitzvah life in order to actualize your own spiritual connection. This is very often connected to the Sefer HaChinuch. And the Sefer HaChinuch has multiple places where he refers to the principle of Acharei HaPu'ulot Nimshachot HaLevavot. I actually chose to bring you one from his description of Karban Pesach, because it's an example of something that maybe people would say, what's the big deal about these specific halachot, even, you know, on a momentous occasion like Yetziat Mitzrayim, Karban Pesach? It's massive. All the little details, they matter. And the Sefer HaChinuch argues here and in many other places that there is a shorish of every mitzvah, but in our efforts to do and to do all the mitzvot, and in our desire to understand all of the mitzvot, we cannot lose the focus and the reality that in doing the mitzvot, all of its pratim and all of its details, we are ourselves really building a personality and a connection to mitzvot and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes with a deep insight and understanding, and sometimes by building, again, that muscle memory that allows us to continue on this path of igniting our connection to Torah and mitzvot. So let's look at this text in Sefer HaChinuch. I think it's number 8. And I'll just read the underlined and bolded section. Ro'oi lanu la'asot ma'asim hamar'im banu hama'ala hagdola she'aleinu ba ba'otah sha'ah. He says, around this time, around the nisim of Yetziat Mitzrayim and the nisim of Seder night, we have to do all of these actions, ma'asim hamar'im banu, that, like, it's a very interesting formulation, right? Hamar'im banu, that, like, illuminate in us, again, you get that image of kiner mitzvah v'torah, or it sort of like sparks and opens up the light that is already there within us. Around Yetziat Mitzrayim, he says specifically, all of these actions and all of these images that we're creating for ourselves and for others, it really creates in roots, or sort of entrenches within us these principles forever. And then just a little bit lower down, it says, "Alam dechala ho'il b'Torah u'b'mitzvot." Da, you should know. Ki ha'adam nif'al kifi pu'ulotav. Man essentially really follows and is trained according to whatever it is that he does. V'libo v'chol machshavotav tamid achar ma'asav shehu osik behem imtov v'imra. He says, listen, man certainly is an incredibly intellectual human person, and we have capacities, and we should pursue them. But essentially, man follows whatever habits it is that he develops within his life. And after those habits, that's where his heart and his mind take shape. And if your habits and if your lifestyle and if the things that you do on a daily basis are tov, as tov v'imra azra. He says, do not, and here again at the very just the next two lines, and we talk shalolishma balishma ubekoach ma'asav yamita yitzer hara ki achrei hapulot nimshachim halevavot. Don't in this paragraph, Sefer HaChinuch challenges us. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're such an elevated, capable, intellectual person that, you know what, only after I understand it will I start doing it. Or the opposite, now that I'm such a insightful, enlightened, and deeply connected spiritual human being, it's not such a big deal if I, you know, shift a little bit in what I do, because what I do, you know, I really understand. It's going to be a little bit different, but it's all right. The Sefer HaChinuch pushes us to truly, truly adopt this principle that our life, the way in which we live it on a very practical daily basis, is in fact what secures our ability to elevate our neshamot and to elevate our connections to Torah and to mitzvot. I wanted to finish this shiur with a quick view, and I give you the whole source just for yourself to look at if it's something that's interesting to you, of the way in which some people might feel like this is an anti-intellectual position. Oh, you know, just do it. You know, I know that I've often sat with students and said to them, you're right. You need to question. You want to know more. You better continue learning about whatever it is that you're committed to in Torah and in mitzvot. However, the sequence doesn't have to be you'll only do it after you understand it. You can't actually ever get better until you're part of, you can't get better in your understanding until you're part of the actual endeavor of living a life of Torah and mitzvot. And so in case anyone had the sense that this was like, you know, don't learn further, just continue to like, you know, create greater amounts of mitzvot in your life. I thought looking at the Rav's assessment of how even in learning, this is not a simply removed intellectual dry endeavor. The Rav describes how for him, learning was, Talmud Torah alone was a cathartic, fully holistic experience, emotional and psychological, connecting every single part of who he was in his Limud HaTorah. Now for me, I'm not going to have those same type of experiences when I'm sitting down to learn. But I will recognize that I need to activate all of those parts of myself if I want to have a holistic connection to Torah and mitzvot. And so when you look at the Rav's description, he says that in Talmud Torah, on a very clear level, when the Rav describes his own learning, he says, of course, it's an intellectual methodology with conceptualizing, classifying, defining halachic matters, etc. He says, in Talmud Torah, he knows that he is sitting down really with an appointment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem and the Shekhinah is shuya on a person who is fully engaged in Talmud Torah as a mitzvot. I'd like to extend that beyond Talmud Torah. When we go to do a mitzvah, recognizing that it isn't just a physical interaction, it isn't just an exchange of money, it isn't just driven by the purpose, perhaps, of the character development, whether it's generosity or kindness in Ben Adam L'Chaveiro moments, or Ben Adam L'Mako moments. It's not just standing in front of Hashem because I have to, because that's what my, you know, parents did. But really looking to build the highway of connection between our inner experiences and our neshamot and the light of every single mitzvah requires that we have an appreciation that that even exists. I think it is on the second page, the third or fourth paragraph, the Rav says, in other words, the study of Torah is an ecstatic metaphysical performance. The study of Torah is an act of surrender. What types of surrenders does the Rav describe? One is we surrender at right after footnote 7. What do we surrender to Hashem? We surrender two things. First, we surrender everyday logic. or mercantile logic, the logic of a businessman, utilitarian. And it really applies from when I think about the efforts of Tamei HaMitzvot, this idea of I'll have an exchange. I'll do this mitzvah if it makes sense to me. And the Rav says, no, we embrace an entirely different a different logic. We embrace the logic of Misinai. We embrace the fact that our Mesorah requires no apology. It might be enhanced. We might be connected to it more. We might be inspired more. But we have to surrender that logic, that utilitarian logic, if we really do want to build that connection. And the second is we surrender an everyday will, also utilitarian and superficial. And instead, we replace it with a say ritzon, chai ritzon, no. We replace it with this desire of connecting to Hashem in Talmud Torah for this essay's purposes. And I would say also in all of the mitzvot that we're doing. Keeping those two things in mind really inspires me to say, continue learning, always. Think about what extra enhanced appreciation and insight you can have, both because you've learned about it and because you've spoken about it with friends. But never assume that that's the raison d'etre, that that's the principle that guides whether or not you do a mitzvah. The muscle memory that we create by simply surrendering and committing ourselves to increasing mitzvot in our lives is what itself will spark a connection between the light of our neshamot and the light of each and every single one of the mitzvot, allowing each of us to really respond to our own desires of building a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and living a meaningful life that's not exactly the same as the mimesis of previous generations, but is also not as shallow or empty as a social orthodoxy that simply has us doing things for the benefit of belonging to a community rather than feeling connected and inspired and closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So somewhere between those two, in my mind, is really building a track record of Torah and mitzvot and understanding that it goes, the inner and the outer connections are things that we have to work on and recognize that requires a lot of effort, a lot of regularity, a lot of habituation in the most positive of all ways. Thank you so much for joining me for learning this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to go over the Makorot together.